You have many, I know.
Yeah, I have too many.
You have too many.
I think number one is always, I mean, this is what I always tell my team as well. Always under promise, over deliver. Mm. That's number one. Number two, I think it's always half full, not half empty. Mm. Number three, it's up to you to be happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think this three is powerful enough. At the end of the day, there's no right, there's no wrong. There's no more, there's no less or whatever we do. Don't be too anal about keeping count lah. Because yeah. I think life is too short lah. Count calories, count whatever is. Is I don't know, there are too many things you count. Money, calories, crypto, you never end. So I think just count how many days you're happy. I think that'll be better.
Death has always been a certainty.
That's what I like about Anjali. It has to be a celebration.
Endless topics that we can talk about.
Dying to meet you.
Welcome to my podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Dying to Meet You. And today I have a very dear friend. His name is Daniel. And Daniel with an A, not with an E, D-A-N-I-A-L, with me today. Thank you so much for joining us today, Daniel.
Hello.
Yes. If you look at him, Daniel doesn't look like his age. And he's still very, very active in sports and all that. And to me, you know, I learned so much from Daniel because he's always what I call avid lover, learner lah.
Yeah.
Not lover, sorry. learner. It must be the wine.
Okay.
Yes. So what keeps you going? Because I know that you also did your sports science.
Yeah, I did a sports science and nutrition diploma, part-time. Mm. I thought it was going to be a breeze for 12 months. And then halfway through, I was regretting because it was like 3 to 4 nights per week, some weekends. But I think at the end of the day, the takeaway is a lot more than I expected because I learned things that I could impact myself, my family, my community, the people in the office, and even my EO members who wanted to know about the common topic of how to lose weight.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that is but I think more importantly, we also realized that because with Singapore's aging population, silver population, we're going to have a bit of a problem where a lot of people are aging without knowing how to age properly in terms of even walking, jogging, whether you wear knee guard, your right shoes, eating right, whether eggs, milk and all that. So I think that's one big part which we missed out on in our generation. Yeah. And I think that is something that could be addressed moving forward.
Yeah, I agree because actually I think I took it for granted, especially, you know, thinking that dancing is just dancing, right? So I was doing tango and salsa dancing at the same time. But I did know that there was a difference in the shoes. It's like, oh, one is very hard surface because you need it very hard and rock solid. That's for tango. Because you don't have so much spinning. It's really about leg work and you look elegant. So the heels are usually very high. Then for salsa, it's always softer sole. So it's easy for spinning. So I remember I started using tango. Lazy lah, I just bring one pair of shoes, right? And I wear tango shoes to salsa. And after like, I think 3 months, that was when I was sharing with you my knee problem. It started to kick in and I realized, wow, wearing the right pair of shoes is very, very important.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So you are also an entrepreneur and you mentioned about EO, entrepreneur organization. Maybe you can share, you know, your experience being, or how do you even started your advertising? Did advertising come first or sports come first?
Sports has always been my blood. And then when I started my career, after working a few jobs and knowing what I would like to see as a company, as a team, I left my last job to start my company.
What were you doing?
So I was basically the account director in another advertising agency. Mm. So I left I made it a conscious effort to leave before I turned 30. So my birthday is 2nd June. I started a new company in like May 29 or May 30th.
Mm.
Just to make it a point that, wait, before 30, you started something. And then if you make it good, if you break it, then just go and get another job.
Mm.
And then that's how I started. But I think the main thing was that I wanted to make sure that the work environment is something where people don't dread going to work. People should enjoy the process. Mm. Then it becomes sustainable. So it's like exercise and work. it should always be a sustainable process, not a forced process. So, I mean, that's my own thinking.
Yeah. Mm, but how do you, you know, I think like workplace pleasure or workplace satisfaction, you know, how do you manage that? I think that's the key thing that we just mentioned, right?
I think we all are not perfect and we all try. Mm. So, I'm always very open to input from the team in my office. I'm always input from my right-hand guy, Darren, who's been with me for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And he will, like, we always have chat. And to me, there is so-called a hierarchy and no hierarchy. What I mean by it, when I say that, when it means, when it comes to the professional line, people know where to draw it. Mm. When there's no professional line, people know when to enjoy the freedom to speak and to give input. And I think that's a very good balance because I think we don't know what we don't know. And we need people to share and to give input. And I think with all of us being human beings, I think the interesting point is, I think we always appreciate when points are brought across in a very palatable way. Mm-hmm. So that we don't feel offended or the other person don't feel offended and you know it's all good. But the end result is that we all want to achieve better things, better environment, and better work environment. So I think that's what we all strive for.
Exactly. I think workplace, you know, it's just like you decided to switch and then you decided to be an entrepreneur. I don't think there's any looking back, lah.
not a choice.
and you know, but how has entrepreneur or like, because I know some of the audience here, you know, and being an entrepreneur sometimes is very, very challenging. And that's also why I thought it was so good to join Entrepreneur Organization, EO. That's where I met Daniel. Because as entrepreneur, we do have our own challenges that it's very difficult to discuss with maybe friends who are not in the same space, right?
Yep.
And they may want to complain about their boss. It's like, oh, my boss is this. But then we are the employer and we see things differently. And so how was it for you as an entrepreneur in your beginning, you know, of your career or your journey like entrepreneur?
One word, challenging. Second word, tiring. But I think the main thing is to be very clear with intent. Mm-hmm. I think even now with kids, I always try to inculcate the idea of intent. If your intent is correct and is good, I think you should just pursue and do it. I guess we cannot please everybody. Life is not a popularity contest. Of course, some people take it as a popularity contest. Some people take it as a competition. But I think to me, I think not required lah. Life is too short to have all those things lah. And we are busy enough to be bothered with many other things. Mm. So it's really about having a good balance and keeping everybody happy as it is. But you can't please everybody. That's one thing that we all need to understand. You can't please everybody.
Yeah.
And you can't please everybody and make everybody happy. I think that's only possible maybe in heaven. Yeah.
I do agree because I feel that, you know, sometimes you may make this person happy, you know, but maybe the rest will feel, it's not justified.
Yes.
So how would you describe, you know, maybe is there, would you say your lowest point was doing entrepreneurship or in your lifetime? Because I know you're very, very active. Even now, you just shared with me earlier on, you play in the league. This man never stops. I don't even know. And that's why I appreciate that he actually spent time here because it's so difficult to get you. But yet, you know, every time I see you, you're super charged up and you're super active. And you know, I think that's the part that I look up to you, which is your positivity, your energy is always vibing. Yeah. So your lowest point, when was that?
I think if you ask me lowest point, it's hard to pick one. Mm. I think everybody's life has a lot of high and lows. And I think maybe psychologically and mentally and emotionally, I try not to pick a lowest point, but rather I'm the kind that is always half full and not half empty.
Mm.
And I think that's how I choose to live life. If we want to pick on the nitty-gritties and you always look at the half empty, I think it never ends. And I think the only person that suffers is yourself, not people around you. So even when it's a low point, I always take it half empty. Why? As like, it could be a lesson that I'm learning. Mm. It's an experience that I'm acquiring. And all this culminates to make me a better decision maker, a better person, a better boss, a better employer, a better father, a better husband, a better son. So I think that's how I take things in my stride. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, we all play different roles in our life, and I think that's something I see. I know you wake up very early. You were the one who convinced me, but I still...
5 a.m. club.
Yes, the book, the 5 a.m. club. And he really does it, you know. And I'm still getting there. I'm still getting there. I think, you know, when you don't... And I know that your wife is also... she walks with you.
Yeah.
I think also you need that kind of... maybe someone to join in the journey is easier, because when one person is not in it, it's like, huh, I sleep so late and I wake up early. Well, maybe it's a bit challenging.
So my wife is quite selective. Some days she'll tell me that she just washed her hair. So she'll choose another day.
Okay.
But I've learned to be able to be very open about it. I say whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
We don't judge. So it makes it a lot easier for her. And I also sometimes have my own me time on the walk. I think that's my most solitary me time.
Yeah.
When I'm doing my walk, listening to my own
podcast
or whatever, and having time to myself.
Yeah.
That's my reset. Actually, that's my mental detox. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I like that. Because I know you in the morning, you send the kids, then after that, you start your walk.
Yep.
And that's how you start your day. I did try, I have to admit, I did wake up and I love that how you tell me, like, oh, don't always just follow like that. You know, you can be a bit flexible, like, don't need to be 5 a.m.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
Be too hard on yourself. So actually, I did try it. And in fact, I do feel that the early hours was such a relief, because there's nobody, when I was walking, there was nobody except my market, you know, people were getting ready. There wasn't so much buzz. Then once you reach the park, wow, there's a lot more people, and you realize, oh, I'm not alone, you know. Then you watch the sunrise. And then on your way back, you see, oh, there start to be like people who are going to the market. So it was, and I remember in the book, it's Robin Sharma, he mentioned also, like, don't go to your social media, right? Because we are so used that the minute we wake up, boom, and then we look at social media, and then you start to be influenced by everything. But that 20 minutes of detox, then next 20 minutes, what do you do to reflect? And then the next 20 minutes, you know, during your walk, it was such, I think it really helps me during that period. And I also thought that it was refreshing. And then after that, you know, when my husband come home, and then he was, because I usually do it in my room, right? And then when he came back, where he was traveling, he came back, and he's like, please don't wake me up, because I sleep so late. So then I start to like, okay, where can I do this? So yeah, I got to admit, I should get back to on track or so. So what, I mean, you talk about, because I always know that, you know, Daniel's attitude has always been, you always learn something, even though, you know, on your lowest point. But how would you define your highest point in your life?
Wow. Highest point.
Maybe there's many high points.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of high points. I think high points is having the balls to even get started. I think to leave a decent paying job to start your own gig takes a lot of balls. And I think maybe that could be also be a common barrier to a lot of people who may have great ideas. But I think my point is that if you don't do it, you'll never do it. The earlier you do it, the lower the opportunity cost. And I guess for me, I picked a time when I didn't have kids. I wasn't married yet. So I thought it was a lot easier. I think if you ask me now, with three kids, you ask me, maybe not, it'd be a lot harder. So yeah. I think that is one thing which I think I hope I can inspire people who are thinking about it on the borderline to just try it. Because you got nothing to lose. Okay, you got lesser to lose.
Yeah, I think at a younger age, I mean, we have interviewed some of them who started very young. You know, even like sometimes we hear entrepreneur like KFC, his recipe at 70 plus, right?
Yeah.
But it's always the earlier you start, you know, maybe after you fall, you pick yourself up faster, yeah, right? But when you reach a certain age, there's a lot of baggage. And yeah, I always feel, you know, when you say you was 30, I just remember I started TLC also at 30. And I remember that point in time, it was like, okay, I just need to hyung lah, just do it lah. And I remember telling myself, I don't really see where the future will be. And what I constantly had, my mantra was, okay, walk by faith and not by sight. And I just keep telling myself, okay, I believe in it, I believe in it. And I think that is something that as entrepreneur or even in anything, we need to have that sense of like, okay, we can do it. But sometimes you can't see the result, right? I mean, there's times where...
Not immediate.
Yeah, maybe it will come in later, but... You know, by the divine power, maybe something will guide us there or the universe. So that being your business point, where it was a personal high, what else was it for your
I think the other highs were when the three kids came along. Mm. I think they bring a lot of joy to our lives, but also they give us a lot of pain, a lot of dealing with, especially when they're growing up.
Yeah.
With the boys coming back with new words and vocabulary every day.
How do you deal with that?
I think that the whole idea is not to scold them, but to share with them what is right and wrong. Because I think parenting is a bit different from our days, lah. Our days was belt and cane, lah. So now it's about understanding and encouragement and motivation.
True.
And understanding where they are, the space that they're in. With social media, with TikTok, they learn things like 100 times faster than what we learn. Mm. And I guess one of the things that I always tell my boys is that, you know what is right, what is wrong, right? Some boys say this, say that, you know, maybe because they don't have a proper guidance, okay? But you need to understand and not use it as an excuse to be able to say that. Because at the end of the day, does it make you more macho by saying that? And I even challenged my 10-year-old boy. I say, look, your friend said this. You dare him. If he got the guts, tell it to the teacher. Because if not, then he's just trying to show off.
Mm.
No, but I'm just trying to drive a point. Some things are just senseless.
Yeah.
Right? And we need to be mature enough to then know what is right, what is wrong. If it's not right, then say it and just get over with. Because these are all like frivolous things, lah. You know, is your life has bigger things to do than all this vocabulary. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but how is it different for boys and girls? Because you have two boys and one girl.
Yeah. So my girl is 13 this year. Different space. Very in tune with her social media. I mean, but she's a bit more artistic. She likes to draw. She likes to do anime. She likes to keep her hand stuck with the phone on the left hand and does everything. So I think my newest line to her is that don't lose to your handphone.
Oh.
You have to win your handphone, which means that you need to know when to put it down. You need to know when to be present with the family. And then like in EO, we say, let's be present.
Exactly.
So at dinner time, I say, hey, come guys, let's be present. No devices.
Mm.
And we have to try to lead by example.
Mm.
Of course, sometimes, you know, I have to reply a message. Hey, you! Then like, okay, yeah, chill. This one work, okay? But yours not work.
Yeah.
But of course, we all try.
Yeah.
And I think when we make a conscious effort, they will all have a bit more buy-in.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, so parenthood has, you know, taught me, and my girl is 2.5. But it's very interesting that she has this, I won't say, she always, whenever I'm on the phone and she knows I'm busy, she will actually come to me and say, Mommy, no phone. She will want me to put the phone down. And then also at dinner time, we also make a conscious effort, like, okay, no phone on the table. So usually we don't. But she only know that my phone is for pictures. So she will, like, take my phone for pictures. And I also feel that that, because of her, you know, so sometimes they say that you don't become a good parent first, right? Your kids will teach you how to be a better parent. And I think that was something that I learned from her. Like, she loved to be present with me. So the other day I came home, super busy. I was really like trying to sort things out in my room. Then she came to my room. Then she took her crayon, she took her drawing board. She didn't disturb me. She was just sitting next to me while I was sorting things out, just drawing.
Wow.
And she just enjoying just being in my space, my room. And I thought, yeah, this was something that I start to learn, and you know, as parent, how to be present. And I'm also worried that one day, you know, eventually we can't stop social media, we can't stop devices. So how do we manage? But I love what you shared, you know. Don't let you have
don't
to
lose to the handphone.
Sounds like a competition. This actually,
so psychologically, yes. they have to win the handphone, right? Yeah.
This really just make me think like, oh, I'm not gonna lose, you know. I'm very competitive. So
in fact, in the morning when I okay, so basically now, because there is no school bus to secondary school, I'm actually taking the, okay, I'll go down with the boys to wait for the school bus.
Mm.
And when they get off, get on their bus, I will come upstairs and get my daughter when she finished her breakfast, and I'll fetch her to school.
Mm.
So we stay in Aukang, we go to Pasir Ris. The trip is only 20 minutes. So I actually told her in my own funny way, I say, look, I feel like the Grab driver. Then she looks at me and say, what do you mean? See, yeah, you're the passenger that sits beside me that don't talk to me. Right? I'm the Grab driver, right? Just have a look at Pete. And then it hits her, and then she spends a few minutes with me. But I think it's that few minutes that matter. Mm. After, of course, she goes back to her phone, which is normal, right? Mm. But I think these are the quality moments that I
cherish,
right? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, as they grow older, now she wants to be with me. That's why I always feel that, you know, parents, yeah, we don't know when is the last time they will do certain things, right? So when they are still doing it, yeah, just embrace it and cherish those moments, because you never know when suddenly she's like, okay, mommy, I want to sleep on my own. Like, my daughter is sleeping on her own. Every time I try to psycho her, like, hey, you want to sleep with me? And then, yeah, so this mommy is like trying to drag her back to my bed. Then she's like, I sleep with mommy. Then she takes her whatever, her doo-doo and her toys, she put on the bed. I tell you, like, within less than 5 minutes, she's like, mommy, my room. Like, she would want to go back to her own bed. Then she's like, mommy, come. So she wants me to go back to her bed. Like, she's so used to...
She don't need you.
Yeah, I'm so sad. This mommy is like, oh, you know?
I think even now, even my daughter is 13, we take turns to chaperone her with her friends.
Oh,
means actually, we go out with them. I did one last year, I think, when they went Plaza Sing, and I just... Went with them for the first one, just to make sure that the stupid safe token works, right?
Huh.
And then I say, okay, look, I'll be parking myself here to do my work and have my lunch.
Oh,
anything, just... find me.
Okay.
So I'm just in the same building. But they are going around themselves.
Oh, that's
And then
cool.
My wife went with my daughter to Attack on Avengers exhibition with her good friends. And same thing. So I think... these are where there are definitely opportunities.
Mm.
Whether we seize the opportunities and
enjoy
the moments. Yeah.
Yeah, because you never know when they say, "Mommy, I don't want
yes,
you around."
Yes.
Then your heart break even more. Then I remember I read this article, like, it takes a lifetime. I mean, they are only a child to us for as long as they live.
Yeah.
But we are, you know, we are forever a mother or a parent to them. And the stress and whatever goes on, right, continuously, even when they reach, yeah, never ends this
never
parenthood.
Ends, never
exactly.
Ends, yeah.
So interestingly that, you know, you talk about, you know, different journeys and all of us. So what has always been, have you ever thought about, I think, let's go back to the first time you met me, lah. I think, was it the first time you met like a...
Funeral girl.
Oh, so I still use girl or mei. I'm not XMM, but yeah, girl.
Okay.
Yes, so how was was
interesting.
It
weird? Yeah. Okay, interestingly enough, I'm quite... people around me will know that I always think about death. Not in a bad way.
Mm.
I think about death that in life, nothing is 100% except death. But it's true, right?
It's true.
So everybody will die. It's a matter of when we die and how we die and how prepared when we die. And that's always been something. So, don't judge me. My kids even know what funeral song that I want to play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. So, I think psychologically, I want to make sure that... I think one of the thing about me and my kids is that I always want to make sure that they are prepared.
Mm.
Prepared when I'm gone, or when my wife and me are gone, or whatever, so that the blow is more palatable.
Mm.
Not palatable, but they can take it.
They can, yeah.
Yeah. So I think in everything in life is about how prepared we are.
Mm.
And we definitely will die. Not that I'm eager to die, you know, but sooner or later we'll die. How we want to die, and how we want to be remembered and all that, yeah, of course, yeah. So, I always tell her, hey, you know, I'm here now, I'm doing this for you, but one day I'm gone. That's why I'm preparing you to be able to manage if I'm gone. It's about teaching the kid or the family how to fish, not giving them the fish. So, that's my old school mentality. Mm.
I think that's beautiful because I remember when my dad, you know, the irony is he's a funeral director, but never planned his funeral, never planned his legacy, never even discuss anything. I only remember one episode where he wrote on a piece of paper, like, 当我死不要哭. And then he put it and then he gave to my elder sis. And I remember my sis was, we were like teenagers. I don't know for what reason my dad wrote that. But it was years after then he passed, right? But that part where we were not prepared, right? We were, the irony is we are funeral, my dad is a funeral tauke, but never had we had any conversation before about what happened when he passed. So all I know was if I have a choice to rewind his funeral, I would probably throw a party. I would have Martel Tua, you know, the big cannon.
Big cannon.
Yes, that's what he drinks every day, sick too, you know, in this glass. And he loved Camel cigarettes. So I would have done it differently, right? But back in, at a point in time, I was so lost. I didn't even know which photograph to use because we don't have the luxury of handphone. So that was something that I wish I had a conversation with my dad or like at least prepare us. And I think what you are doing is beautiful to talk to your kids. They're like, well, this is what I want. So how would your farewell be like then?
I think number one, no black colours.
Wow,
black
same colours. As me.
Yeah. I think.
Why okay, so
I think maybe
black?
Because No. I love black. Don't get me wrong. I think, story is that I'm a born Catholic, went to Anglican school and married a Protestant wife.
Mm.
So, I always joke, I say God is marketed in different ways. I mean, you know, it's like, there's one God, right? So, at the end of the day, maybe just to take a quick jump out, we just came out from a forum retreat.
Yeah.
And one of the exercises was to write about what we'll say to our loved ones.
Wow.
And I realized that it was a very powerful and impactful exercise because it makes you think, right? It makes you tear everything. But I think one of the comforting thing about my messages or what I will say to them in the last 15 minutes that I have was about, you know, don't worry, don't grieve about me, you know, how to carry on with life, be strong, be a support, a pillar of support for each other. But I think more importantly that, you know, we'll meet soon. Okay, because, you know, we are, if you're a Christian, right? At the end of the day, we'll all meet in the same place in heaven if we are a believer. So, I think I take a lot of comfort in that. So, in terms of the celebration, I think it's a celebration because it's just a celebration of what happened here on earth.
Mm.
And there's still a long way, long journey.
After life.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I always say that funeral is not a day in a lifetime, but a lifetime in a day. Because I feel like, you know, we have our whole lifetime to plan for our funeral, but yet we don't talk enough about it. I have people who tell me, oh my God, my dream wedding. And I'm like, what's a dream wedding? You know, for me, I've never have a dream wedding. I only had a dream funeral. The irony is like, I don't give a, care about the wedding, you know, because to me it's a marriage that really matters, not really the wedding party. I don't, like, okay, as of today, you know, I just read an article that a guy flew, 150 drones to propose to his fiance at the Gardens by the Bay. I was like, then I sent this article to Emmanuel and I said, like, please don't waste the money, give me the money, I'll put it in the trust.
That's so, what the woman say, right? But if Emmanuel did that for you, you'd be like, wow.
Yeah. No.
Okay, I tell you, just practical.
I think I'm more practical than, he's more romantic for sure than me. I'm more
his friends, right?
That's why he's more romantic. I'll be like, baby, you know, look
you're
at the time.
You're just Singaporean.
You know? I'm just Singaporean, yeah.
Practical,
but,
okay.
Yeah, but the money should come to my pocket, not to give to drone companies to appreciate this, you know. So that's why I always feel that people spend so much on that. But what about funeral? When it comes to funeral, you know, can I use a drone to scatter the cremated remains? Example, this was something that I was exploring with a friend and asking him that now we have a scattering of cremated remains in the sea, cremated remains on land. What about drone? You know, using drone to scatter, which is happening overseas, but can we do it in Singapore? And then also...
Don't ask, just do.
Just do, right? Need to clear a lot. I already checked, you know, clearance. But if you're interested in this, let us know so that at least I know there's a lot more buy-in. But there's also another one that sort of interests me, which is the reef, where you actually use the cremated remains, you build it up into like a... You use like mold, you know, and then you create a reef and then you lower down into the sea. And I think for divers, people will like it. But problem is Singapore waters too murky. La. So even if you
never
drop,
be found, never yeah, be
yeah,
seen.
You cannot see one quite a one. So maybe, yeah, maybe Singapore not the right market in my opinion. Just, I don't think I ever dive in Singapore. Only, can you dive in Singapore?
Pulau Hantu.
Is it? Oh.
You know what Pulau Hantu stands for, right?
Hantu, no.
Ghost Island.
Oh, is it Hantu?
Yeah, Hantu is like, ghost. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You yeah, see that's nothing.
That's the place I will avoid for sure. No, but it's true that, you know, if we can get people to have this conversation, make it more palatable, normalize the conversation of death, I think people, children especially, they know that, oh, when the time comes, I'm not so shocked. I can take it because that has been telling me. So for you, you mentioned, you know, would you want, I know you love your alcohols. Would you also want some party, like music? Or you said music, but alcohol?
I'm sure the people who come with no COVID restrictions, I think my family be happy to serve them whatever we drink and whatever they drink.
I see.
Yeah, and I think they should be drinking in remembrance of the memories that we made together.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it should be a fun. I mean, it should be a celebration.
Yeah.
Of what has happened, not a grieving.
Yeah, I feel like it's like your graduation ceremony, right? Yeah. You graduate from life. So who is your favorite FC?
Liverpool.
Exactly.
You never walk alone.
Exactly. So that song must be played. I have done a funeral for a Liverpool fan where we had everybody wore jerseys. We had a big, you know, cloth with
Sounds like a plan, right?
Everybody penned down their meaning. So all the pallbearers wore the jerseys.
Wow.
And sent him off. Yeah. So I think that's the part, or even your trophies. I think you have a couple of trophies or medals, or all those things, lah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's the beautiful part where we want people to remember who Daniel is or who we are, you know, in our lifetime. So what about your life motto?
I think...
You have many, I know.
Yeah, too many.
So
I think number one is always... I mean, this is what I always tell my team as well. Always under-promise, over-deliver. Mm. That's number one. Number two, I think it's always half full, not half empty. Mm. Number three, it's up to you to be happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think this three is powerful enough. At the end of the day, there's no right, there's no wrong. There's no more, there's no less or whatever we do. Don't be too anal about keeping count. La, because I think life is too short. La. Count calories, count whatever is... Is there are too many things you count, money, calories, crypto, you never end. So I think just count how many days you're happy. I think that'd be better.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. In fact, you know, like people from Bhutan has always been rated as the
happiest people,
right?
In the world, yeah.
And because I read an article that they contemplate about death 4 times a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And because they do that, so they appreciate every moment, or perhaps, you know, they know that, okay, what if, and I think because they are Buddhism, so there's a lot of afterlife, but is that contemplation of what if today is my last day? I think when you went through your retreat exercise, you know, what is the message you want to give to your family? And I think that is something that we, if we constantly have the end in mind, so I always feel that if we have the end in mind, if tomorrow is going to come, and what if I have no tomorrow, what will I do today?
Yeah, yeah.
Then it really helps us. And I love the part, the third part where you say, you know, you can be happy. You choose.
It's your choice. To be
it's
happy.
Your choice. Yeah. Because a lot of times I read, I also meet people. I think that was also my paradigm shift or like my breakthrough where I realized nobody can make you feel inferior, right?
Yeah.
Only without your consent.
Yes.
And same thing for happiness. Like if you want to be happy, it's not. So I told this to my Emmanuel. I said to him, baby, I've sent him this article. I said, your happiness is not my responsibility. There was this meme, okay? So I sent to him and then he said, no, that's not true. I said, yeah, but it's true. You are happy, you're happy. That's your... It's not my responsibility to make you happy, right? But I understand where you're coming from because, you know, of course, we are union, we are family. But I said, yeah, it's true. I can be happy. You know, you're not responsible for me because I am responsible for my own happiness. That's what I believe in. So, very curious, have you ever thought about where your cremated remains will be?
I think most probably inside a church.
Yeah, I thought you would be more...
Because like my grandparents and all that, they're all, their urn is all, I mean, The ashes in the urn is all housed in the church.
Oh, so easier.
So I think it's a bit of, and also it's easier for everybody to come to a place to pray about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just want to, because I know you are also involved in another the squad, the what was that that you were doing that you said the children, the kids, right?
Not kids, it's a youth community. So it's called SG Spark Squad.
Spark Squad.
18 to 25. It's a platform for young people to get together.
So why did
socialize?
You create?
To provide an avenue for people who lack an avenue to socialize through activities that are common. Whether is it food, whether is it outdoor activities, whether is it archery, K1 cart, cutting, longboarding, wakeboarding, doing something charitable, whatever outlet that may be relevant to them.
Mm. Was there something that triggered and then got you interested?
No, I think we have always been very happy to be able to impact other people or the community positively.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's always something very meaningful. I think at the end of the day, life is more than just, I mean, of course, it's important to make money and to be able to afford what we want, but I think it's also very important and very gratifying to impact other people's life positively, no matter how small. I think no matter how small, we think sometimes an impact could go a very long way.
By giving,
whether it's now or later, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's the part that, you know, we always aim to do it, because I feel that the age range that you give, you know, is a range. 18 to 25, you said.
Yeah, molding range. Molding,
yes.
Yeah, molding.
And that was also the period where I remember I was very clueless of where I wanted to be, where my direction is. And then, you know, bam, my dad passed away at 24, when I was 24, and that was reason why I had to step in. So I feel like, yeah, that was the period where I graduated. So what's next? Right? I didn't know, there was no guidance. So by having this, and I also think children nowadays, they don't know how to make friends as easily as before. They're all behind.
Different,
right? Yeah, in the past,
different.
We can like go downstairs, kick ball, and then
play marble,
you know, play.
Catch spider, catch longkang fish.
And then go and play catching in the block. I still remember
those
things.
Now when I say longkang fish, people is siao.
Even marbles, some of them are like, what is marbles? See me okay, maybe. Even like we get happy just jumping off flight of stairs, right? Like we challenge each other, second, third, fourth, the last one. That was entertainment for us back then. But nowadays, yeah, very rare. Even you see, ask them what's hotchkotch. Like nobody knows, 0 point. Yeah, time has changed, but we definitely need to move towards, you know, and sort of mold ourselves and sort of adjust ourselves to the society. So as parting words, is there any message that you have for the audience?
I think life is too short to be... I think there are a lot of people who are always not fully contented, not happy, angry with something in life, whether it's something in the past, with somebody. I think the word is that at the end of the day, I've learned this and read this, and it's very true. Why do you want to walk around in life with a bag of rotten potatoes?
Nice.
Rather than throw it, dump it, and just live your life and enjoy your life to the fullest. So I think I will encourage everybody to always adopt a half full and a very positive attitude in life. Enjoy the journey. And not keep too many counters, because sometimes it becomes meaningless. It becomes fruitless competition, in fact, sometimes. I mean, a lot of people always compare, and does comparison even make your life any better? I think that is a question you got to ask yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I always advocate that 生不带来死不带去, at the end of the day, we don't bring anything.
We came empty-handed, leave empty-handed.
Exactly.
I agree.
So what you leave behind is your legacy, right? What you want to teach, physically you're no longer around, but you want to continue the legacy that this person has built. And always remember, maybe we can walk in his shoes and see how we can do better in our life. So Daniel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and just a shout out, where can people find out more about the Spark Squad?
I think they're on IG, SG Spark Squad. Yeah. Mm. So that they're on Instagram.
Yeah. So follow him, and then you can also join if you have kids who need some, you know, guidance in socializing. Yeah. I think that will be a very, very, very good platform.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Cheers. Daniel. Cheers. Cheers.
Death has always been a certainty.
That's what I like about Anjali. It has to be a celebration.
Endless topics that we can talk about.
Whatever you leave behind, that's the impact that you leave on people.